Welcome to the Encounter Series podcast. I'm Carl Faze, and it's a pleasure to bring you the story of two remarkable women today, Courtney Delks and Corinne Henderson. Courtney told me about her professional basketball career and how she climbed to the top of that sport in the US. Now she finds herself helping in the rehabilitation of Corinne, a young woman who was in an almost fatal motorcycle accident. Both women have encountered Jesus and are using their lives to make an impact on others. Courtney, you grew up in Indiana playing lots of sports. You were told you're too short for basketball, but why focus on basketball?
My nickname growing up was Short Court, actually, and really just a love for the game, pure love for the game. From the time I was little, before, you know, I even knew that the WNBA wasn't even a thing yet when I was born. And so just having the ball in my hand when I was younger, it was just a pure love for the game and something that I fell in love with.
Was there an age where you thought, oh, I'm actually quite good at this?
When I was younger, I actually, I thank my parents. I'm very grateful that they put me in situations and gave me opportunity to, you know, improve my skill as a basketball player. They never pushed me to do anything, but there was this thing called skills and drills, and like I was the youngest person that would go, and I would sit in the car and I would cry. But once I got over the fear of going in, because there was going to be older girls who were in there, and so I was afraid of being the youngest one, the shortest one going in there. Once I got in there, I was like 5 or 6 in there doing between the legs, behind the back, doing all these drills. And I think it was at that time where I was better than some of the 9 and 10 year olds at dribbling that I really started building that confidence as a basketball player. And I also tell people pure love for the game, like on the playground at recess, it's a big deal if you're picked as a captain, and especially as a girl. And there was always me and this other kid who was the most athletic player, athlete in our grade that was chosen as the captains. And so among the peers as a little kid and inside my spirit, I think those, looking back, those were times where I knew I might be pretty good at this, because I'm beating up on the boys, I'm playing in boys' leagues, playing Little League baseball with boys, not just basketball. And so I think those opportunities really started to instill confidence in me.
Where did confidence is important. Where did competitive passion come from?
I have an older brother. That's where the competitive, no matter what it was, whether we were playing Little Tyke's goal in the basement, whether we were playing football, backyard baseball, whether we were playing Candyland, like I always wanted to be, you know, the older brother. He's 6'5". I'm 5'6", he's 6'5". He was always taller than me. Normally it ended up me throwing the basketball at him, getting mad because he was taller and like he's really good at sports too.
Yeah. It's important to be positive, and they talk about in sport being positive. But I noticed that in a story, they talked about you put bad stories about your playing on the wall, reporting that you hadn't done well. Why did you do that, and what impact did it have?
At the end of our seasons, I would take the newspaper articles and I would put them on my wall to fuel me for the off season. So that when I would wake up in the morning and I would go out to be consistent with my ball handling or my shooting, I would see these as motivation. And during that time, you know, I grew up in the era of watching Michael Jordan and Reggie Miller and Kobe Bryant. And so I think that it was just instilled, like there was this mentality that those guys had, that they were always told that they were not something, and they would go out and they would put in this work ethic to prove it. And so it was really modeling something that I had seen other players do. But I'll tell you, if I were to go back now, I would not put those articles on my door.
Yep. You would stay in a more positive mindset?
I would not put something up there that would get into my subconscious. So like one, for example, after we lost in state, it said overpowered. And so I had this thing, it said overpowered, it talked about poor shooting. So yes, did it motivate me to become a better shooter? Absolutely. But seeing the word overpowered over and over and over gets into your subconscious. And so knowing what I know now about how our mind works and how important that is for our physical body and what we want to go do, I would put on my door the future version that I was wanting to be. So like, overcomer. Why not that? Because we have the power, you know, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And who does God say that I am? And that's what I would want to see every day on that door is, who am I becoming because of who I know that Christ says I am?
Yeah. When did Christian faith become a part of your life?
I'm super grateful. I grew up in a community where, like, if you don't know haven't been introduced to who Jesus is, it's kind of like, well, you don't know who Jesus or God is. And so you have every opportunity all around you to be impacted by the gospel where I grew up at. So it was from my parents, from the household I grew up in, grandparents, aunts, uncles, teachers, coaches. I just grew up in an area where the Spirit is very, very active in making sure that you are being encountered.
Fabulous. Was there a time that you felt you really encountered Jesus personally in a specific way?
I would say, so a lot of people, I work with a lot of clients and I tell them, they don't prepare you for transitions, especially when you transition out of your household as an 18-year-old, and when you transition, say you go to college, when you transition as a 22-year-old into the real world, and they don't prepare you for your 20s. I think that I'm very passionate about people in their 20s. So when I transitioned from, I grew up in a wonderful house. When I transitioned to Purdue University, I went through a really just tough time of during that transition, and that's when I really encountered Jesus. And I'll never forget being, there was this hill called Slater Hill. I was really struggling, just mentally in a low spot. And there was a storm that came in. I got stuck on this hill. I had my bicycle there, like I couldn't go anywhere. And I found some shelter and some trees. I'll never forget there being a dove that like showed up on this limb in this tree, and like just the overcome. And really that was a time when I really felt the Spirit speaking to me and just a sense of peace.
So what difference did that make?
The difference that it made, it was nothing external. So like I was coming off a time where I just got Miss Basketball, which goes to the top senior in the state. Like you're awarded this award, you get to wear the number one jersey, you go down in history as Miss Basketball of that year. I'm going to a high major college, Division I. I have a full-ride scholarship. Like on the outside, man, Courtney Moses has it going on. But internally, I was struggling. And like, especially when you're in a position where you're a role model and a mentor, and like you feel like everybody thinks that you have it going on, you don't know who to talk to sometimes. And so Jesus and like that encounter, like I knew during that time I was overcome with peace that surpasses all understanding. And one of the names for God is Jireh, and just that he's always going to provide. And so in that moment, the way it changed me moving forward was I just had this internal peace that seeking after Christ is in being the internal, where the Holy Spirit transforms us. Like it started during that time. It was moving forward. I knew that he would always be there for me.
It's interesting, isn't it, that at your point, up to that point in your life, that was your point of greatest success. Mm-hmm. And that was also your greatest time of struggle. Mm-hmm. Was that odd for you?
We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and there is a spiritual realm. And so when I was in the seventh grade was when I went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my junior high, and that's where I really understood that I could use sport to glorify God and to lead others. And so from that point, like my purpose and really becoming the best athlete and the best basketball player was so that I could go to the highest platform to be able to share the gospel with other people. And when you put yourself in that position, like you got to have a team around you, you know, praying for you. You got to be locked in on your spirit and your mind, because like the devil doesn't want that to happen. And so you're going to get attacks. And so there's no doubt in my mind that during those times of greatest success, like there's also a spiritual battle that is going on that we cannot see. And that's what I was experiencing during that time.
Was that time your highlight in your basketball career? Was that your time, your best moments, your greatest moments?
Absolutely. We coming off of a high school career where we had gone to state a couple times, getting Miss Basketball was something that was a goal. And so like to see that become reality, and then going and playing at Purdue. And absolutely, that was really the time where I felt, you know, physically as the best as a basketball player.
What was it like when you decided to give up your basketball career?
It was unexpected. When I didn't know that the last game I played my senior year at Purdue was going to be my last competitive basketball game as a basketball player. It was against Oklahoma State, second round NCAA tournament. And the last 10 years, I have really had to overcome that. And because I didn't know that was going to be the last time. And so it was actually another transition point, like I talked about, where it was a really, really hard time for me.
Yeah, that is difficult. You had some options to play basketball professionally, but stepped away because of some family pressure. Give us a picture of what that decision was like.
Yeah, in 2014, I entered the WNBA draft, and I thought I was going to go like third round. There's three rounds, and my name's not called, and I was kind of like, my agent thought that I would be drafted. When you get drafted, you go and you go to training camp, you get a spot on the roster, and you have opportunity to make the team. And so I didn't get that opportunity, but I reached out to a coach at the San Antonio Silver Stars that I knew and said, hey, can I come and try out? Because this has been my dream since I was little. Deep in my soul, I knew that I had to go and like try out. Like I knew that I could play at that level, even though I'm 5'6". Everybody's told me, you know, you're too short. And he told me that I had a chance to make it, to come down and try out. Physically, best, you know, it was the best time for me as a basketball player. Like conditioning wise, strength wise, ball handling, shooting, all those things, IQ-wise. But mentally, I was struggling again because when my name wasn't called, I started thinking like, am I enough? Is this what I'm supposed to? I start going through doubts in my mind, really struggling with like self-worth. And so when he told me to come down there, I didn't go. Not because I wasn't physically capable. It was because of a mental battle that was going on inside of me. And so I didn't go there. Then I had opportunity to go and play overseas, but like I always wanted to be in the United States. And so when the time came, I had contracts. I could sign the paper and I could go. I was engaged at the time. There was also some turmoil going on with family business on within my family, and you know my dad wasn't in a really good spot mentally. And so like there's times in our lives where we have choices to make. And like deep down in my soul, I knew going overseas and playing basketball, like it just was not the time to leave home. There's more important things than just basketball. And I wanted to use basketball as a ministry, but there was a ministry opportunity that needed to take place within my own family. Yeah. And so I made a decision to stay home and to be there to help my dad through a tough time, to be there with my mom during that time, and then also to my husband and I, we were engaged at the time. We had done long distance for like 2 years. So it was like, all right, here we go on the other side of the world. And like, we really needed to work on our relationship. So there was a lot of dynamics, all I have to say. There was a lot going on. And so I knew that I just needed to be at home.
It kind of asks some questions about what success looks like, doesn't it, mm-hmm. Courtney? Because it's not just, you know, you're driving for sporting success, but success in life is something different, isn't it?
Absolutely. Success is, I think that we really have to internally define what success is for us individually. And so it doesn't look the same for everybody. And success is nothing, and I've said this a lot, but like it's not outside of us. So like I've been Miss Basketball, I've won championships, I'm married, I have kids, we have a business, we have houses, cars, like all these things that when you're growing up, you think those are the things that are gonna like satisfy you. It doesn't. Yes, is there joy in being married? Yes. Is there joy in being a parent? Yes. Is there joy in helping other people? Yes. But there's nothing outside of, success is nothing outside of you. It's all an internal state of being.
Fabulous. We're in this barn.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do here?
Yeah, so this barn is a barn where we focus on the mind, body, and spirit of anybody really who has a growth mindset. So we have basketball players from preschool age all the way to professional athletes that come through here. We have farmers, entrepreneurs, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, high major D1 athletes that come here for mindset training. We have people that come here who want to work on their fitness. We also have a young lady who was in a motorcycle accident, who was actually a basketball client before, who comes here and is fighting and relearning how to walk after being hit by an impaired driver. So there is a wide range. We have red light therapy here. We have basketball. There's mindset. We have a cold tub that people get in, which you need to get in after this. Maybe we should get it on film. But just Really taking care of the mind, body, and spirit.
Is there a danger where here's the CEO of a large company or here's the professional basketballer, I really need to focus there, yet you obviously deal with a wide range of people. How do you not just focus on the stars?
Anybody who has a growth mindset and is willing that they want to grow, and I think after you've been through experiences where you've encountered, you know, the Holy Spirit, if you've overcome tough times in your life, you've helped other people to overcome tough times in their lives, you want everybody to know that there is nothing outside of you that is going to satisfy you, and it's relationship with Jesus and allowing yourself to be transformed by the Holy Spirit into a new creation, which is starts with your thoughts.
You're helping Corinne. Before the accident, what was Corinne like as a person?
Very funny, so like outgoing. She would come here, so she was actually on track to be a college softball player. We bought the lawnmower that you guys saw me mowing as you guys came up, which is I'm putting this all together. That was kind of cool. That was how I got connected to Corinne. Her dad's a John Deere salesman, sold us a tractor, brought it up here, saw the other barn and was overshooting in it. And we got home and he said, man, I need to bring my daughter up here. She's into basketball. She was in high school at the time. So she started coming and doing basketball training with me. I was helping her learn how to shoot. And she would come to an unheated barn after basketball practice, drive 30 minutes. And we'd put a salamander heater behind her. And she just started working on her shot. And like I said, you know, why did I stick with basketball? A love for the game. She started the same process of falling in love with the game of basketball. Totally created her stars and switched from on track to softball in college to I want to play college basketball. And she ended up going to Franklin College. She had just finished her freshman year at Franklin. It was 2020. And, you know, the world shut down that March. And so she went home. She was working, making ventilators at a local factory, making some extra money. In college or in high school, she worked at the local Harley-Davidson dealership. And she's been around motorcycles. So for her 19th birthday, she has some extra cash. She had been around. She'd had her motorcycle license for a really long time. And she bought herself a motorcycle for her 19th birthday.
She's riding, an impaired driver comes out in front of her. What was her chances of survival in that accident?
Her chances to survive. So the first person on the scene was her dentist, and she's gone to that dentist for like her whole life. And you know your dentist is like up and personal in your face. He didn't know who it was. So that's how bad of shape she was in. The chances, I wasn't there at the scene, But he said that like he's pretty sure she didn't have a pulse, that she wasn't breathing, and he's a believer. He prayed over her, and she took a big gasp of air. The neurologist within the first week wrote her off and told her parents find a long-term care facility. She'll be in quote unquote what they called a vegetable, which you shouldn't use that term, but she'll be a vegetable the rest of her life, and you just need to look for a long-term care facility. And her parents looked the neurologist in the eyes and said, we believe in God. We believe in the power of healing. And like, we're not going to accept that answer. We're going to fight alongside her and help her have the best chance to make a recovery from this accident. So that was the chances. Was like, she might, like, I wasn't there, but she could have been dead on the road and could have been revived, right, you know, through that prayer. And she was supposed to not even, she's supposed to be in a nursing home, which, when you guys will meet, like, she is fully alive and making a recovery.
So, Corinne, before your accident, what did you want to do?
Become a police officer, and I went to college for Spanish. Major.
Yeah. You also prayed a prayer before your accident. What was that?
I prayed for God to show He's real.
Yeah. But you weren't expecting the answer that you got.
No.
No. What happened in the accident?
I was driving my Harley down State Road 19, and then a car pulled in front of me and boom, hit me.
Wow. What Harley was it?
And it was newer.
Yeah, yeah. You're a fan of Harley Davidson's?
I used to work at Harley.
Oh, wow. Do you like that?
Oh, I loved it.
Well, do you remember waking up? What was it like when you first came around after the accident?
I just remember coming out and going into the barn over there, and Courtney was there, and she just put me in the workout.
What was Courtney? How does Courtney help you?
In a lot of ways, she helped me with my beliefs and everything. And she helped me walk again. She helped me gain strength again. A lot. That girl is a godsend.
Yeah, is she hard on you?
Yeah, but I think that's just to make me better.
You feel like you're getting better?
Yeah. 100%.
Do you feel, in answer to that prayer, that God become real to you after the accident?
Yeah.
In what ways do you feel that?
God showed me he's real because he allowed me to wake up from my coma. And he kept me alive mostly.
What would you hope for the future?
That I become God's into someone else.
And as you look for the future, are you hopeful?
Yeah, very.
Very. Courtney talked to us about she helps people with their spirit, mind, and body. In what ways is she helping you with your mind?
Her and her husband, Jordan, they do like this mindset training, and it really goes well with me.
And we know with the body, you're working on walking and your strength, is that right?
Yeah.
And what about in your spirit? That's what you know about God, is that right?
Yeah. The God just is amazing. He showed me he was real that day that my accident took place, and he kept me alive.
Yeah. How much you've got family on your shirt? How much does family matter to you?
Oh my. A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your mum and dad are there all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how much do you appreciate that?
I appreciate it a lot.
Wow.
And we adopted, my parents adopted this boy, his name Freddy, and I just think of the world of Freddy, and he's just amazing.
And do you help look after Freddy?
Freddy's older than me.
So Freddy looks after you?
Yeah. At least he tries.
So Corinne, there were some I am statements about what you are looking for. Mm-hmm. What were they?
I am walking, I am balanced, I am healed.
Wow. And how are you going with the walking?
It's coming along. It's really, Courtney has really built me up to do that again.
Yeah. And how often do you come here?
Right now it's, well, 5 days a week and 2 hours, almost 7 hours a day, I think.
Wow. That's a lot of walking and a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I figured out Norman's crazy.
What would you say to other people listening to this interview who are going through a hard time like you? What would you say to other people who want to give up?
Just keep pushing forward. You can do it, and the God is a really big factor in my life. Yeah, and he does a lot for me.
Green, thank you.
Thank you.
Fabulous. What are you seeking to do with Corinne? What do you do when you're working with her?
Yeah, so when she first started, her dad called me up and said, hey, Corinne's out of these rehab places, but she like needs strength. She needs to build her core up. Would you mind coming and evaluating her? And I'm like, sure. Like, I know health and fitness. I'll go check it out. And it was the hardest evaluation. Like, she screamed. She was so hurt. She couldn't get into certain positions. So it was really like, I explain it, like starting with a baby or toddler learning to walk. Like, they learn how to roll over, and then they learn they're pulling themselves up onto their knees, and then they eventually get themselves up and they're walking. It's been doing that for the last 2 years to get Corinne on her feet. And a part of that too is work on the mind, body, spirit. Is like, it's been mindset training, it's been nutrition, it's been sleep, it's been really instilling in her and helping her to process through what's happened, and that she is being transformed into a new creation, and to really, you know, help her to forgive the guy that hit her, help her to have a vision for where she wants to go. And it's not walking. I say, if walking is where you want to go with this, like, that, you're missing the point. Like, God is working through you. And so I'm so excited for her to speak today, because one of the things, like, you're going to be a guest speaker. Like, that what's happened, you have no idea the impact this is going to have on other people. So it's a wider range. And it's just, I'm not a physical therapist. It was being in a situation of, you know, knowing, you have to know when to, as a basketball term, when to pivot. So I'm on track to, you know, be a basketball trainer, a basketball coach. And then for the last 2 years, I've pivoted to help somebody to believe in themselves, to believe in Jesus, to believe in the power of the transformation that can happen, and like just helping her to get on her feet. And now we're at a cool point where I call independent Corinne, where she has gained that strength. She has gained, and now it's all right. And I think we do this with, I know I do this with my kids, where you have to, like, they become independent and you give them ownership, and you have to kind of, they're going to struggle sometimes, but like being able to step back and allow them to start to figure out, okay, their body, and being able to figure out, you know, they're going to fall sometimes when you're learning how to walk. And so that's where we're at this transition piece.
How do you feel watching her struggle?
It takes, I think the struggle is harder for her parents. Like, I'm a parent too. Like, as a parent, to watch her, you want to jump in right away. As a trainer in my role, I know that the struggle is going to push her forward to where it needs to go. So I think it's honestly easier for me to watch her struggle because I'm not the parent. And I think that's why being in this role, she can come and she can relax, and she can, like, she knows that thank God that he made me strong. Like, I'm not going to let her fall. Like, I'm going to catch her. And so we've built that trust. And when you spend 40 hours a week with somebody and they can't move themselves around, and you're helping them to go to the restroom and to eat and to do all these things, like, and you show them the love, which is the love of Christ, like, I think that she has that trust. So, like, for her to struggle, she knows I'm doing it out of love.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference of if you're just letting somebody struggle.
Yep.
Because you enjoy watching them struggle. Like, I don't enjoy watching her, but I know she has to get where she wants to go.
In this barn and all you're trying to do, in 40 years' time, when you're looking back, what would you like to have achieved out of what you're doing here?
What I would like to achieve is that there's been people who have came here and have been built up and understand who Jesus is, understand, you know, got unstuck and know their purpose, and that we call it the compete mentality, which is doing what God is calling you to do even when it's hard, and that people are taking this message and that it's worldwide, the compete mentality. And it started in a dairy, it started on a driveway in a dairy barn and in this barn, and that it's not about anything. Like, I don't want, you know, you can't take anything with you when we die. When I look back in 40 years, is that there has been a movement through people throughout the whole entire world and they have came and they've encountered the Holy Spirit in their lives, and what the mind and the spirit is more important than the physical that's going on.
Courtney, that's fabulous. Thank you.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Thanks for listening to the Encounter Series podcast. We trust this story has inspired you today. If you'd like to explore more about faith yourself or just get more information, go to our website, olivetreemedia.com.au, or follow us on our socials. We would love for you to have an encounter with Jesus as well.